So I don't want to talk at you. I want to talk with you. I'm not. We're all brothers in Christ, and I'm not the most intellectual guy speaker.
You're in good company.
Yeah, I just love the Lord. And I'm gonna tell you. So when Sam asked me to speak, he called me up and said, "Hey, can you speak?" And so I promise you, the gentleman that was speaking, our guest speaker upstairs, I did not talk to that guy. So I said, all right, I'm going to talk to these guys about crossroads when you guys get to a crossroads in your ministry, whether it's church, small ministry, big ministry, whatever, we all go through them. And I just happened to, I was talking to Jim, and he was asking about my motorcycle ministry. I said, it's funny you say that, because that's what kind of kicked this discussion off. So God's working here, and that's probably what needs to be talked about. So let's pray, and then we'll get in, and I'll just read you a little scripture and get going, and do some Q&A if you guys need to. So Lord, first of all, I pray that you get me out of the way so you can speak through me. Yeah. And Lord, if there's anything these guys view as a success in my life or my ministry, it's all because of you.
Right.
I just had to get out of the way, and you've worked through me, and I'm blessed that I could share. Hopefully it helps these guys in their ministry.
Yeah.
And bless this in thy name. To kind of piggyback off that, I wanted to share something with you in Galatians in chapter 2. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for purpose. So, and if I could, I'd take you over to Colossians 3, but I'm not going to, so that could be a little homework for you. But I do want to read this, because this is my, these are my life verses coming up here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but by everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things and what you have learned and received and heard and seen in you. Practice these things, and God of peace will be with you. So that's the word of the Lord. Amen. So I want to talk to you guys about crossroads, and I know you guys would all raise your hands if I asked you if you've ever been at a crossroads in your ministry or maybe even in life.
Right now.
So cool. So I just kind of viewed it this way after Sam called me, and this is us. We're headed to the cross. We're at these crossroads in life, and when Sam called me and he asked me to come and speak to you guys about this, I was right in the middle of going through a situation with my motorcycle ministry. It's been going on forever. And we had to change some leadership in the motorcycle ministry, like you would in any ministry, you know, that's worth keeping. And we'll talk about that too, what determines if we're going to keep it or not. And I kind of looked at it and looked at what was going on. I thought, you know what, man? I go, I need to come in here and I need to get this thing going again. You know, it went through, you know, I started the motorcycle ministry, me and my friend, back in the late 90s. And we did this and then passed it off to this guy, you know, the whole deal. And then so we're here. And I think the people that were running it, I just took it over 2 weeks ago again. So here we are 28 years later, I took it back over again because there's too much value in it, and I wanted to get that. And I didn't want to run it, and I don't want to run it. So that's part of this. And it's probably unconventional from what you guys have been taught. So, I didn't want to let it go because I knew there was value in it, and there was a lot of people in it, There was a lot of strength in it, and numerically, I felt like it was solid. And this ain't all about numbers or big or little or anything like that. I believe this system will work with anybody if you kind of move it and adjust it to your ministry. So I kind of came in, and I just kind of call it the law of overcompensating. So, you know, I'm the kind of guy that I only have one speed, and it is hammer down. I mean, on the floor all the time. That's the way I live my life. That's the way I've always lived my life. And even in ministry. So I came in and met with the people, and they were just really, they just weren't really sure that I should do that. They were kind of thinking, hey, maybe it's time for this thing to just go away. And that's okay to think that, because when you get capped out, or you're whatever you call that, I call it kind of capped out, you go, hey, what do we do? And I seen it as a pastor and shepherd. I kind of swooped in and go, okay, I can help this. I can resurrect it a little bit. I didn't want to run it. I told him, I said, I'm not here to run this. I don't want to run every ministry, and neither do you guys. But I knew there was value, so I'll talk about that as I go along. So any questions so far when you get to this crossroads in ministry? Does everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I want to make this relatable to your situation. So here we go. So the first thing I did when I seen this, the first thing I did was I prayed about it. And God didn't tell me anything other than, yeah, there's value in that, and I believe there was value. And some of the other people, smart people, that's the first thing I always do, is I pray about it, and then I surround myself around smart people, call old mentors, and I believe we can all continue to go forward in ministry if we're not always back here mopping up a mess that we shouldn't have done in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
And for young guys, you're going to do that. I'm going to tell you that, and it's okay. But please get smart people in your life to help you get through that. Otherwise, it's a train wreck. And don't be so prideful that you can't take advice. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So then you make the determination if it's worth saving. So then you make, if you're the fall guy, you need to be the fall guy. That's the way I've always believed it. So I need to figure out if it's worth saving, and I kind of determined that with some other people. And there's some of the things that are going on in your churches that may have to die. And we don't like to hear that, because everything should go on forever and ever. But us older guys know there's things that just got to go. Amen?
Amen.
And let me say this, so I can put this here. So let's just forget about my church, have Bible Travel for just a second. I have been part of church plants that we let go, and then some that prospered and are still going to this day. But there's a bunch of them over here. Now, I'm not talking about my church at all. Just part of what I've been part of. And they're still prospering. And then there's several that I backed out of. And I said, I can't be part of that. And they burned in flames. For real. And I got it all wrote down. I got the name. I wouldn't tell you what the names were, but it happens. And I'm just not part of that. I don't want to be. I've stubbed my toe enough in 61 years that I don't want to stub my toe anymore.
Amen.
I'm just, amen. And this brother's ministry is still going on, and I was blessed to be part of it way back, like a zillion years ago.
You actually need to preach, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm older than him.
Yeah. And he was a solid guy, and I'm not going to get into me and his business. I didn't even know he was going to be here, and I was like, yeah, I like this dude. And he preaches the word, and he's strong, and I love him. And I was like, yeah, you can stay here in this building, and you know, I'm going somewhere else. And he stayed there. You stayed there for a year or whatever.
So he finally sold it. He sold the building out for me.
Yeah. So, but his
it was time to go.
That's why he was trying to go.
It was.
No, he's still, you know, I really believe that's a success there, and he's prospering. And there's another gentleman that I hope, with a couple of churches, and some are out of state, some are here, that kind of thing. and then there's some of these that was, they're gone. Amen?
That's right.
So any questions on that? I'm going to kind of wipe this off and kind of redo that. So we prayed, we saved, and when we came in, we determined, however you determine that, with you, the Lord, your elders, or maybe even somebody outside your church, you know, I may call somebody outside the church, and there were some things that I was going to do with Jim that I didn't do. You know, he's like, hey, man, you need to come down here, da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, you know, okay, I'll do that, and I'll start church down in Union, too, and we'll have churches everywhere, and got in there, and got to finding out there were some people that were already down there that were doing it good and all that, and I was just like, man, you guys are probably better than me, you do it. I'll help you if you need it, and I'll bring motorcycles down and all that. So I got to be able to come to him and his people and go, you know what, Jim, there, you got people here that already do that. Amen?
Yeah.
So that's important, you know, and I know I'm going kind of fast because I got a lot of stuff to cover. So
come on.
Anything you would like to say or anything? Because, I mean, you kind of know my world a little bit.
No.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions before I move on? And how about the save it, let it go deal? I know that's buzzing around in your head. Can I? You want to throw one up?
No.
Okay. I
totally have seen that over time.
Yeah. Okay.
You did spell prosper wrong.
Okay.
It's not.
You're going to see a lot of me spelling things wrong.
I love it too.
So let me. And my wife was like, "Hey, man, you're speaking before a bunch of pastors, you need to make sure that you're going to be able to spell everything right."
None of us can spell.
And when I became a pastor, I couldn't read.
Dang.
Just so you know. I couldn't read. I was illiterate.
Did God
so,
will
read. Yeah.
Amen.
Wow. So to the point where my wife was like, let somebody come up and read, and then you preach.
Dude, yes.
I spent probably my first 5 years with the Webster's Dictionary. This was back before they had computers. And learning what words were in the Bible, because I didn't know what any of the words
right.
were in the Bible.
I love it.
So that's where I'm from. But I got a doctor's degree in common sense.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah,
I know it is. That's why I said yeah.
It's not common anymore.
So here's one. So with this, we have to assess whether the current leader is the guy or not. Leader, I'm in there somewhere. So is he the guy or not? It could be even a girl running children's ministry or whatever. So let me just say this, and I know people aren't going to want to hear this. 9 times out of 10, that person's got to go. And the only reason I'm leaving the 1% in there is because it's possible that God could do a miracle in there, right? But this leader's probably going to have to go. They ran it into the ground. And not intentionally. But it is in the ground, and nonetheless, you're probably going to have to come in there and breathe some new life. Any questions on this one, on how you determine
hard
that?
Hard question. Hard to do that, but super it is hard. Absolutely necessary.
It is super hard. So can you expound on that just a little bit, and then I'll give you my two cents.
If you get a teddy bear heart for these people, for the leader, whoever it would be, you're doing something, making a tough decision for the organization, but it may leave them devastated.
There it is, and it is that. So let me piggyback off. This could be the grandpa out of the church that has a son, daughter, and then piles of grandkids in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You pull that out, and now you got a situation. So we're overcompensating that man, that administration, with a bunch of love. Love you. I'm here. I just want to let you know. And, you know, for this particular situation, I just kind of let them all know we're in a setting like this. I go, starting tomorrow, I'm going at this hard. Everything I got, I'm rolling out. I said, don't be offended by it. This is now, here's where the law of overcompensation comes. So it's on my videos. It's in my sermons. It's on the t-shirts. It's on, you know, this whole thing. And then I repackage it and roll it out and have a new meeting. So for this particular ministry, it was my motorcycle ministry. That's what I told these guys. I said, when you leave here tonight, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to see this thing everywhere. The motorcycle ministry's back on. I said, I'm going to hit the throttle on it. Sermons, shirts, meeting. So our first meeting, we rolled out our first meeting last Sunday, and we rolled it out, and there was 87 guys back in the ministry.
Wow.
Back in the motorcycle ministry.
Can I ask a question? With the motorcycle deal you're facing right now, was it a leader issue?
Not really. Not really. He loves Jesus probably as much as me or more. And so does his administration. And they weren't happy that I was there. And I love them. And they're there at my church. They're staying at my church. They're salty people. They're great people. We come around and hug them and love them. And overdid that on purpose because I didn't want him to think that I'm, coming here as a big cheese and, hey, here comes Pastor Pat, he's blah, blah, blah. I just told him, I'm just being real with you, man. I'm just like, dude, I'm baptizing this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm baptizing it with excitement and unction.
And they just let the ministry kind of...
I think they, when people get there, people don't just plan on failing, They just fail the plan or what you do. You get capped, I call it capped out.
Yeah.
So like when I'm going through this right now in another department where some of my ladies that work for me are working with a younger lady in another ministry to get this going again. They kind of elbowed her and said, hey man, and so this got contagious. So it came up in the motorcycle ministry, but it was, I use it everywhere. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest ones that I've used it out of the whole church was my boxing ministry.
You have a boxing ministry?
Mm-hmm. You have a boxing ministry. So I have a USA sanctioned, USA sanctioned gym, and I'm a USA sanctioned coach. So we've been doing that for 15 years.
What? Don't mess with them.
So we had to do that. So I'll just tell you this. So in our boxing ministry, when we started that, so I started this with a young kid. And I was like, we're going to do boxing ministry and yada, yada, yada. So before this, I was doing this with my strongman ministry. So I did strongman and arm wrestling. So I did that. I traveled all over the country and did this. And then arm wrestling. And I was a professional strongman for 5 years. So I had that going and this, that. So I just took that energy and put it into boxing. So my boxing ministry was starting. And all the Baptist people go, oh, Jesus isn't about baiting on people. So, they were leaving in droves. They were just like, you're crazy. There's no way it's boxing match. Nobody's going to buy into you beating on people. And we know boxing's not about beating on people. It's a sport like anything else. Mm-hmm. It has for sure been probably the most effective thing that's ever happened in that church. So not only did I fight the people that left, I fought our insurance companies. Insurance companies, they were running, they were like, they canceled me. I've been canceled many times. But I also had USA, it's the IOC affiliate, USA Boxing. And they came in and they sanctioned it. So my gym is sanctioned, my fighters are sanctioned, and then Fight Night is sanctioned too. So we usually have about 3 fights a year at our own gym. Not to mention us going out and having fighters that fight all over. Matter of fact, I got some going to Vegas this month.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay, so I know I'm just blasting you guys. So the law's the same. But the principles are still the same. So we had to go out. So we had to get new insurance on all our buildings and had to get people back on board. And then they all came back. Every single person that left came back on that when we installed it. Even the old blue-haired ladies who've been there forever.
Wow.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, any questions thus far? So, and don't think that this doesn't work everywhere. It does. It really does. Whether you're big, little, short, or tall. It doesn't. I know some of you guys are like, I don't have all that. It don't matter. Jesus is Jesus, and big stuff and little stuff. So.
Do you think Sam can handle it in the ring?
Sam, Sam's a good guy. I love Sam. So you know when
you didn't answer.
So when I got involved in the Twin Rivers Association, so we did. Here we go. Same thing. Same thing with our rodeo ministry.
Jeez.
So we didn't think. So when we got out to Montgomery, it was like, here's church and let's do church. Rah rah. I told my people, we're going to put a rodeo ring. We're going to put a rodeo pin back there, an open pin back there. And they go, where? And I go, back there where all them weeds are and all them trees are and all that stuff. Who's going to do it? I go, I'm going to do it. And I got a bunch of people. We cleared it out. And we're on our second year of rodeoing, and Pastor Aaron upstairs is going to put together a full rodeo schedule. So when I started that, they were the same way. They're just like, this is not going to happen. And then the city wasn't going to ordain it, and so we had to kind of go through that. But the law is still the same with all these ministries, whether it's children's or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay. So here's the determining factor whether you let it grow or let it die is if it adds value to your church and God's kingdom. And if there's no value in it, then you need to scrap it. And the first thing that you do if you're going to keep it is do a mini, and I say mini, and do it quicker the better, mini vision casting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times people don't do things because it's a good idea and they never launch it. So here's the thing. If you don't respond to that idea that comes to you in 5 seconds, it'll never happen. You need to write it down, process it. So when I got up to finish this, I got up at 3 o'clock this morning to do this, to finish this. God gave me all the stuff. Then God's like, you need to get out of bed and finish this thing. So I'm here at 3 a.m, sitting on the side of my bed. Amen? And you'll either respond or get left behind. That's all there is to it. That's what separates Billy Graham from everybody else that ever preached, you know, Dale Moody and all them guys. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to be perfect on my vision cast. I'm just telling you, hey, we're gonna keep it. Like here was mine, we're gonna keep it. And I did the same whiteboard with the same people that are sitting there, and I go, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna start tomorrow. You know, and they were kind of like, oh, well, we don't like that. Well, it's too late, you know. I'm in here and here's the vision, and then it's out there. And then you get people on board, the smart people on board, to help you get that done. So here's one that you may throw you guys a curveball. Whoever, let's just say this is, give me a ministry that you guys are having trouble with. Just throw one out there. What is it?
The Perpetual Kids Ministry.
Kids, all right, so here's the deal. Kids ministry. So obviously they got to be vetted. But here's the thing. So if my kids ministry is just going tanking, I'm going to put the smartest person I have in the church there. Because this is most of our prized possession. And some of you are going to go, well, they're not called to do that. I don't care. I don't give a tanker's rip if they're called to do it. If you're the smartest person and you're working for me, you're going there until we can raise somebody up. Because I know God wants kids ministry to stay. Amen. Quit worrying about if they're called to do it, man. Here, we're workers in the kingdom of God. So let me tell you this on our motorcycle ministry. So for my motorcycle ministry, I did that, and you know, I had to put 4 campus ambassadors in for our motorcycle ministry, so we had representation at all the campuses. And some of these guys aren't called to be in the motorcycle ministry. But I took my smartest, strongest males and put them there, and I said, hey, will you do me a favor? Yeah, what do you need? I need you to run this until we can raise somebody up there. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's very unconventional thinking. Because I'm going to be, oh, I need to pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about it.
I already did. You're the one.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we all want to pray and do what God wants us to do, but God wants people to know about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so we're not going to let the kids' ministry die because, you know, somebody needs to go on a fast and pray for 9 months to figure out. No, we want kids here. So you take your smartest person that's vetted. I trust them guys. They're not going to screw it up. And then you and that person are going to raise somebody up to take that place.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let it go. And then if it's supposed to go, then it can. But obviously on something like that, we don't need to think if God wants us to do that or not. So, amen?
Amen.
Matt, is it possible the approach that you're talking about here is, you know, the church is a community, but the church is also a corporation. There's an organizational side of it.
There is.
And the stuff you're talking about, a lot of it is the organizational side, and people can over-spiritualize that and say, hey.
Yeah, don't get me started. Don't get me started on that.
We just gotta do the organization piece.
Yeah. The everybody, man, I hate to even say this, but
say it.
I mean, man, some cats think they're so holy and all this kind of, I'm not down with that. You know, if you're about God's business, be about it. It's the most important business in the whole wide world, and we treat it like it's a unicorn or something. God wants this business to be salty, in your face, and loving all at the same time. Mm. And I think the law of overcompensation is so, you know, when you think about when God repopulated the earth and flooded the earth and all that kind of stuff, what made the big ravines, what made the mountains and everything? It was an abrupt bunch of water. It wasn't a garden hose that was sitting on the property just trickling. It was a that's life changing, and that's the way we need to hit these guys is with a fire hose instead of a garden hose. I mean, I want to blow the enemy out of this.
Yeah,
out of socks.
When I first met him, I walked in the church, and all of the church was pieces of paper taped, one piece of tape, and different color markers. Kingdom value only. You know, saying my church all place,
huh?
You know what's saying in my church all the place?
What's that?
Kingdom value only.
Yeah. So
because it all went right back to that basic goal, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not, you can do the work because you're already called to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I think, yeah, so and yours is that's the first word right there. You know, I don't want to overly simplify it either. But here's the deal. I believe if I can get it, anybody can get it. Because I don't have any education. You know, so when I'm up there preaching, them people are looking at me. Man, that dude, it's got to be God because he ain't smart enough.
What they said about the apostles.
You know, and I think about that. My wife, I mean, I've been with my wife for 40 years, and she's like, I can't believe these people. When I first started preaching, she said, I can't believe these people come back.
You love that support, huh?
So the mini vision casting is huge, you know. Make sure you got something out there so these people can sink their teeth into. So here's the deal. If you don't act on that ministry that you're supposed to address, it can be life-changing for the life of that church. And this is what I knew here. I knew this, you know, I'm even calling my buddy, Big St. Charles, and I'm like, hey, man, looks like I'm, you know, I got an old bike, I got an O2 bagger, but I'm calling on the phony meal. I'm like, hey, man, I think I'm going to be back in the spiker ministry. I'm ready to probably get a new bike. So me and my wife, who are in a different world, you know, in our life being on the other side, I never thought I'd have to drop back and be part of this. And I'll pass it off. But when I pass this off this time, Jim, it's going to be to a smart young man that's sold out. And I probably won't pass it off to him until the winter. No, I'm not going to do it in the summer. I know he's going to come up to me in the summer when things are roaring, everybody, you know, they're doing all that. I'm like, you know what, dude? You need to hang on until we get to the winter and that kind of thing. So be careful, and if you can't pass it off to somebody that's smart or something like that, you probably ought to not pass it off because you're going to go back in there and fix it again. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
And if you don't, and here's another thing. So here's the opposite of that. If you don't deal with it, this thing's gonna be laying around like a dead deer on the road. Amen?
Yeah.
If you don't, and that's what it'll smell like too. You're like, you know what, man, that dude should have been gone a long time ago. And it's just sitting around and nobody wants to address it because, you know, he's the grandpa or he's the, you know, guy that cuts the big check or whatever. Here's the deal. God's got plenty of money. Don't worry about talking to the guy that cuts the big check. You know, God will replace him if he needs to. Amen?
Amen. Takes courage.
Yeah. You don't want to be in this sport if you're not courageous.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is
how do you deal with that when the structure of your church may not allow you that freedom if we have to vote on it or talk to it?
Yeah, I ain't got that kind of time. I don't have that kind of time. They're not where you're at.
Forgiveness is easier than permission.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a board like everybody does, but I mean, they called you to be a pastor, not a yes man. I don't, I'm not, no. Nobody runs me. It's not going to happen. You're the shepherd. That's just the way it is. I'm not, I would never, you know something, God is, there's only two offices in the Bible, right? One's a deacon, one's a pastor. And what does it mean to be a pastor? What does it mean to be a deacon? We know it means to be the servant. And you're the chief servant. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. If you're, so let me be sympathetic for that. So if your people or your board or your powers that be are going, hey, we don't want this, we don't want this. Maybe you need to go back to them and say, man, if I'm going to move this forward, I can't be checking with you every 10 seconds. Hmm. I just can't do it. You know, I mean, they got to trust you enough to be able to make decisions out there on the fly. Hey, I need a gallon of paint. Hey, I need to, you know, buy these people dinner tonight. And then over-celebrate taking these people out to dinner and you know, making t-shirts or whatever if it's in your budget and stuff like that. And don't think, you don't want to go home tonight going, you know what, I could have made a difference, but I was afraid the board was going to be mad at you. Here's the deal. Somebody's going to be mad at you guys every day. Just make sure they got it.
That's a fact.
Amen?
Yeah.
And where I came from, I don't give a tinker's rip who's mad at me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. There's somebody mad at me every single day on the internet or at my church or at a location or a boxing event or whatever. I mean, I go to casinos where there's girls hanging on poles and all kinds of stuff. Started in a biker bar where they didn't want me, a 1% biker bar. Here's the deal, man. I don't care. You just have to get to a point in your life where you go, you know what, man, I don't care anymore. I'm here. I know who sent me here. It's God. And that's who I'm hauling water for. So go back to your board and go, hey man, if I don't have this kind of authority, you might want to hire somebody else. Because I'm not going to be your all's yes man. You know. So, and I'm not trying to rock the boat or anything. I'm just being real with you. You ask, so I'm just telling you. Your board's great. You're wonderful. And I have one too. And I don't go out there and I'm just a renegade. But my board trusts me enough to go, you know what, that he's going to make the right call. And if I don't know what the right call is, I may call one of the guys on the board that are smart to help me make that decision. Amen? Mm-hmm. Just remember, if you don't act, it can be life-changing for the church one way or the other, especially a big ministry. What's your guys' biggest ministry, Micah?
Probably our kids' ministry.
Kids' ministry. So if that's not handled right, and not only that, there could be a bunch of talk, right? If they're not vetted and all that. So that's got to be handled right. So, you know, one of the ministries we do is we go down to Boys Town and then witness to orphans and kids that need help and all that kind of stuff. And if you're going to ride in our motorcycle ministry, you got to be vetted. And I don't want people, there's all kinds of Klingons. They want to come. And God love them. They're great. But I can't vouch for that group. You're not a member. You haven't been vetted through my system. I can't speak for you out there. So those people that are running children's ministry, they got to be the best. When you're talking to all the moms and the aunts and the grandmas and everybody comes in, Mike can go, well, you know, I got my best back here. Hmm. These are my best. And here's the deal. And if that woman's not called, get the smartest lady, the most trusted lady, blue-haired lady back there, and you go, you can trust Grandma Mimi. You know, whatever. I mean, you can put it on her, and they're going to go, okay, yeah, we're not touching Grandma Mimi. You know, yeah. She's... About you, what's your biggest?
That's the same.
Sense. Yeah. I'm not
make or break.
I'm not pulling no quarter on the kids' ministry, man. Yeah. My best is there. You know, we're locking them in, caging them in, and doing the intruder training and all that. Yeah. Right, we're doing it all. Spend the money.
We have about 60 volunteers. It takes a month to run it, and then the safety team is about 20-30 guys, and they're very.
Right
tied
there.
Into it all.
It so should be.
It's a big deal, and what you said, if you don't act, it's going to...
It's over.
Change. Yeah, we've seen that.
You're going to be back there cleaning that up.
Yeah,
when on one of these church deals, I'll just call it whatever, I'll call it a deal, I won't call it a church plan or split or whatever, it took me 2 years to clean that up. Mm-hmm. And I almost took our church up. Mm-hmm. Don't let that happen, man.
Yeah.
You guys are smart. You guys know. When you see that, go over, get next to it, go, is everything okay there? And maybe you don't handle it, maybe one of your ladies at your church, if it's a woman that runs it back there, send her back. They go, man, can you talk, Grandma Mean, would you talk to little Betsy or whatever her name is over there and get her straightened out over there? As a matter of fact, I want you to start meeting with her for the next month, you know, once a week, and take her out to Chick-fil-A, you know, on Saturday or whatever, and get her straightened back out. I spend that money, spend that time, and get that smart person with her. You know, the answers are always there. You just have to be around smart people. So when I when I started getting away from the wackadoodles and the dummies and surrounded myself in church and surrounded myself around the smart people, my life went a lot easier. If you got to be here, you might as well be around smart people. Yeah. Amen? That's my philosophy. I mean, we're going to witness to everybody. I'm going to witness to you and your friends and your family and all your people. But if I'm going to run around with people, I'm going to run around with cats that can make the needle move.
Yeah. Right.
Right? I mean, you don't want to be around a dummy who can't get anything done. You're like, you know what, dude? We're going to witness to you, but I got to be around some smart people so I can get my church to move forward. And when you do that, that's when you'll go forward. Amen.
Amen.
I think I'm getting close to being done.
I do have a question, but it's,
go ahead.
Well, it's, I'll ask it at the end. I don't want to distract Kimberly.
No, you're not going to distract me.
I just wanted to know, what is a tinker's rip?
A tinker's rip means you just don't care.
Okay. He kept saying that, so I was trying to put a definition down here.
Lead, follower, get out of the way.
Yes. So, and then once you get going, proceed with passion. Mm-hmm. And it ain't nobody, you know, whether I take it to Psalm 100, I just took you to Philippians 4 verses 4 through 9. Man, I live on that. You know, I live on that. And my mom put that in my wallet when I was 13 years old, Philippians 4:13, and I ran like the wind. I didn't come to the Lord until I was 35. I've been, you know, I've done everything but die. And Scripture will help you lead with passion if you pick a verse that'll be, have to be a life verse for you and your family that's going to move you forward. And amen. And just be this crazy person. So I'm preaching for a couple of months on Dedicated to the Impossible. Me and my church are dedicated to the impossible. That's where God's got me right now. I, with me and you, we know what we can do. I want to do something I can't do. I want to do something that's good. People are looking at me and go, you're nuts, man. And every time I go to my board, they're like, oh my gosh, here he comes again. He's going to get nuts, you know. And these people know me. They've been like my sister. She's been with me for 20 years. She's like, oh man, this dude is nuts. He's going to do something crazy. And what I call that, I don't call it crazy. I call it passion. I want, here's what I said in church last week. I want people to be more excited and dedicated to the passion of Christ and his kingdom than they did their old life and their old addiction.
That's good.
And here's what I told them, guys. I said, let me tell you about your addiction. Back when you guys were getting high and getting by, some of you guys could stay up for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days on whatever it is you're doing. Now once you became a Christian, you go, oh, I need sleep. I'm going to be at church. What does that mean? Mm. You're not more passionate about Christ anymore than the devil? And they always find a way to get to, got to the tavern or go be able to get a six pack or more dope. I want that same passion with your finances going to Christ's kingdom as it was the devil's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all that separates is just passion. Mm-hmm. So be thinking about that. And lastly, I'll say this. When you're going through that season in your life and you're fixing it or crossroads, whatever it is, let the Holy Spirit not only lead you, but do something that's going to shake up the crowd. You know, hey, normally, you know, we might be right in the middle of a service sometimes. I may stop a service and say, everybody needs to be here at the altar. Just let's forget about what we normally, I don't care what we normally do. We're not in a normal period. Let's just all stand here at the altar and just pray, or just lay your hands on somebody, or anoint somebody with oil that's sick and got cancer, and somebody on their face here. Let's get real here. Let's do it. And when that stuff starts happening, and people start thinking on the things that are impossible, man, that's when the church comes alive. Mm-hmm. So we're blessed that this came at this time, because it really shook our church up, and they're like, you know what, man, we're behind you on this deal. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think people are ready to shout. We just, as shepherds, we just need to give something to shout about, and that's the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
All right, so that's about all I got. So let me field a couple of questions if we got them, and let me see if I can help you.